A braisa says, the pasuk says, Arvei Nachal, which refers to arovas that grow by the river. This excludes the tzaftzofa, which are arovas that grow in the mountains. Rav Zeri said, the pasuk teaches that tzaftzofa is inferior and is not considered to be an arova. The pasuk says, he took that which grows by the waters, meaning the arava, and made it as a tzaftzofa. We see that tzaftzofa is different and inferior to the arava. Abaye asked, maybe the pasuk is explaining that the thing that grows by the water is the tzaftzofa. Mar said, if that was true, the pasuk wouldn't have said, and he made it. The fact that it says he did, so obviously it's a different thing. Rabbi explains the pasuk to me, and Hashem says, I said that the Yidden should be like an arava before me, but they made themselves to me like a tzaftzofa. Braisa says the arava has a red stem, it has long leaves, and has a smooth edge. The tzaftzofa has a white stem, has round leaves, and edges that are jagged like a sickle. In fact, Mar Braisa says an arava like a sickle is kosher. Mar says the Braisa is discussing the chilfa gila, which is a true arava, which happens to be jagged like a sickle. That's why it's kosher. But if it's the tzaftzofa, it's taka be possible. Abaye said we can learn from here that the chilfa gila is kosher. It's an arava. In fact, Mar Avi pshita. Mar said we would think that it's possible because it has a shem lavai. Therefore, the pasuk says arvei. From the fact that the pasuk says arvei lashon rabim, which teaches that it includes an arava, even if it has another name and accompanying name along with it. Dr. Mar Rav Chisda said there are three things whose names change when the churban occurred. Meaning, what used to be called a tzaftzofa is now called an arava, and what used to be an arava is now a tzaftzofa. The significance is regarding the mitzvah of arba minim, because what used to be called an arava is what must be used. So that the meaning we have to. We use what today is called a tzaftzofa. Next was what was called a shofar is now called chatzoitzer. So what was chatzoitzer is now called a shofar. The difference is that we have to use what used to be called a shofar for Rosh Hashanah. And thirdly, what was a pesoira, which was a big table, is now called a pesorta, which is a small table. And what was a pesorta is now called a pesoira. The difference is for business purposes. You know, the term used in commerce, you have to know what's being referred to. Abaye added that the huvlila is now called the base kasi, two different parts of a kosher animal's stomach, and what used to be the base kasi is today called the huvlila. The difference is, one of these makes the animal a trefa only if it's punctured through and through, the other makes an animal a trefa only if it's punctured, even if it's punctured only on one side, therefore you have to know which is which. Rabbi Bar Yosef added that the place originally called Bavel is today called Bursif, and vice versa. The difference is for Gittin, meaning either because the people of Bavel were considered experts in Gittin, so we have to know that they, we have to know where the original Bavel truly is, or to make sure that that we write the proper current city name on the get. Zok the Mishnah Rishmol says, one must take three hadassim, two aravas, one lulav, and one esrik. The hadassim are kosher even if two have their tops chopped off and one is not chopped off. Rav Tarfon says, even if all three have chopped off tops, they're still kosher. Rav Akiva says, just like one needs to take only one lulav and one esrik, you also only need to take one hadass and one arava. Zok the Gemara, Braisa says, regarding the esrik, the pasuk says pri, which teaches that only one is needed. Regarding lulav, the pasuk says kapas, it could be read as kapas, which teaches that only one is needed. Regarding hadassim, the pasuk says anaf eitz avois. Each word teaching that a hadas is needed. So anaf eitz avos for a total of three hadasim. Regarding aravas, the pasuk says arvei nachal, written in the plural, which teaches that at least that there are two aravas that need to be taken. So as long as one of the three hadasim are not chopped off at the top, that's sufficient. Rav Tarfon says all three hadasim may be chopped off at the top. Rav Akiva says just like one only needs to take one lulav, one esrik, you also only need to take one hadas and one arava. But the other said, one would think that the esrik should be bound with the other species. To prevent this thought, the Torah does not connect the mention of the esrog to the mention of the lulav with a vav. Rather, to teach that it's separate, the pasuk also teaches us that each of the minim are essential, because the pasuk says ulakachtem, which we darshan to mean that it should be a lakicha tam. You should take a complete taking. In fact, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if he requires the hadassim to be complete, then all three should need to be complete. Why does he allow two of them to have chopped off tops? If he doesn't require that, then none of them should need to be complete. Why does he require one of them to have a complete? Why does he say one of them can't be chopped? So Biron, in the name of Rami, said Rabbi Shmuel really he retracted his opinion and held that only one hadass is necessary. It was regarding that one hadass that he said it has to be complete. Rabbi Huda, the name of Shmuel, said that Allah follows Rabbi Tarfon. Shmuel follows his opinion elsewhere because he threatened the Hadassah merchants that if they raise their prices unjustifiably, he will let everybody know that the Halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon, which will result in the driving down prices. Therefore, he said, don't overcharge because then I'll bring down the demand that you'll have for the product, for good product altogether. Zuck the mission. Esrog that's stolen or dry out is puslin. Esrog of nasherah tree over nair nidachas is also puslin. Esrog of orla is puslin. Esrog that is truma tmeya is puslin. If an esrog is truma tahira, it should not be used, but b'diavad it's kosher. Regarding an esrog of demai, beishamai say it's puslin, beishilah say it's kosher. An esrog of maisa sheni in Yerushalayim should not be used, but if it's used, it's kosher b'diavad. Next, Zuck the mishnah. If there are boils on the majority of the esrog, or if its pitim was removed, or if its peel was removed, or if there was a split, or if it has a hole with even a tiny piece missing, the esrog is pasul. If there are boils on a minority of the esrog, or if the uket, which is the bottom stem, was removed, or if it has a hole but nothing at all is missing, it's kosher. Zok the Mishnah, an esrog that comes from Kush, it's very dark, it's pasul. Regarding an esrog that's green like a leek, Rav Meir says it's kosher, Rav Yehuda says it's pasul. Rav Meir says an esrog has to be at least the size of a walnut, Rav Yehuda says it has to be at least the size of an egg. Yehuda says the maximum size of an esrog is one that is that you have to be able to hold two esrogim in one hand. Rabbi Yossi says the maximum size of an esrog is such that one has to be able to hold that one esrog in both of his hands.